Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is October 27th in the year 2017. Glad you are here, and I'm glad you're joining us for our two-day travel article, The Warm Heart of Quebec City. And I had mentioned at the opening of the program that this is a place where very few people from this part of the world venture to. And most people that I talk with, my friends and all the folks that I teach here, we do talk a lot about when they go to Canada, they'll visit Vancouver or Toronto. Those are really the two main destinations. They might try a couple of other places like Calgary or maybe Montreal, but Quebec City is not on the list of most people just because it's just not one of those places. It's not on the radar. And when something is not on your radar, you don't think about it much. However, as we always do with Advanced, we want you to think about something else. And this is a great place to think about. It's a great destination to think about because it's such a cool place. It's so different from anywhere else in Canada. And it's almost like you have gone to a different country, even within Canada. So, well, I've got two panelists in the studio joining me for this article, Hazel Johansson and Lois Fisk. Hi, panelists.
Hi,
hello.
Bill.
Great to have you here joining me on this article. And first, I'm going to ask Lois to give a thought or two on this because Lois is our resident Canadian Chamber of Commerce representative. And she knows all things Canada and fills us in on important details that we need to know on our various articles. So I'm just kidding, Lois. I love Canada, but I'm glad that you are here with us on this article because you have been there and you've got a lot of other information on Quebec.
Yes. Now, first I'm going to say that lots of people who are not from the province or from Canada say Quebec, but if you go there, they'll say Quebec. It's also referred to as La Belle Province.
La Belle Province.
Right, our beautiful province. And it is actually Canada's geographically largest province, but not the largest population.
Okay. What is the population there, do you know?
It would be about between 6 to 8 million people,
okay.
Whereas next door, Ontario, would be about double that.
Right, right.
That's our most populous province.
Well, looking at the size and based on those population numbers, the density is pretty low, which means everybody's got a lot of space there.
Everybody has a lot of space there, and everybody is close to the border. If we look at our map on page 41, they're close to the south of the
right.
province
right.
and bordering either Ontario or about three or four states in the United States.
Yeah, that's the bulk of the population will be right along that southern border there that touches. It's actually separated by the St. Lawrence River, but between Quebec and New York and Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine.
Yeah,
right.
And then so. on the far side. The far east side, New Brunswick, the province of New Brunswick.
Yes. Quebec is, as far as latitude, it's about, I was looking at the map of the world, and it's about the same as Harbin, just to give our listeners a relative sense of where this place is, and actually that will come into play later. It will help you understand some of the climate stuff we discuss. So if you know anything about Harbin, you can relate to Quebec, right? So, lots of ice and cold in the winter. So, well, Hazel Johansson, we brought her in. We broke her out of the TV studio for a brief respite from recording some TV programs. Hi, Hazel.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, glad you're here. And I know you've been to Canada. Where in Canada have you been?
Actually, I was in the province of New Brunswick, and I believe we crossed into the Quebec province as well.
Okay.
We took a road trip. It was a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, we drove up through New York and through Maine and through those northern states, and then we went to Gaspé bird watching and did a lot of hiking there.
Wow.
It was cold at night. We went in June, and
we camped, and
it was cold.
Wow.
The weather in the daytime was great, but at night it was a little bit chilly.
That's awesome. Road trips are just a great way to learn about places and get a real feel for them. Instead of flying over things, you drive through them and you experience the people and the local stuff.
There weren't many people there. We didn't run into many people. Yeah. Right. Just more birds than people.
Right. Parlez-vous français?
We didn't do a lot of that.
No.
It was interesting. We had a young lady that went with us, and she said, "I speak French. I speak French." So we were happy to have a translator if we needed one. But when we got there, she was so shy, she wouldn't speak anything. So language learners, be sure, don't be shy, just speak out and try.
I actually crossed over from a small town in, I think it was Vermont or New Hampshire. It was a little tiny border crossing. It was funny how cute. It was like a little toll booth almost out in the woods. And once I got into Quebec, it was so clear. Wow, I'm in a different place because everything was in French.
Mm-hmm.
All the signs, the road signs, everything, advertisements. I'm driving along, everything's in French.
So. Our only province where everything's in French.
Yeah.
So it can be confusing for some people, even like English-speaking Canadians, because many English-speaking Canadians aren't fluent in French at all. So,
Now, you're fluent in French,
aren't
you?
No, I wish I was. Not fluent. No.
You're fluent in Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, I could get by after being there about a week or two. I could get by with a little bit of my French for sure, but it's not easy because the rest of Canada speaks English. So
Well, we're going to talk about that as we go through the next day or two. Also, it's a great place to talk about. There's also this quirky thing about this whole different culture that they've got in Quebec, particularly even within the province of Quebec. There's different such great cultural differences even between Montreal and Quebec City. We're going to break our reading up into three sections today. So, our first reading will be that left column.
The warm heart of Quebec City. Tips for traveling smart in North America's most European city. Shop windows are dominated by winter parkas. A cool, bitter wind blows off the St. Lawrence River. The trees are turning quickly now. On Fabrique Street, I hurry past a fur store with my inadequate raincoat and fleece. In this brief season, fall, North America's most European city glows with brisk vitality. City Hall is decorated with giant pumpkins. Spindly geraniums are on their last legs in the flower pots. Cruise ships on color tours of Canada dock at the port, and visitors pour into the winding streets of the lower town. Here, everything is about New France, North America's French ties, both the past and present. And that sensibility is why Quebec City is also regularly named one of the most romantic cities in the world.
The warm heart of Quebec City, tips for traveling smart in North America's most European city. Yeah, I would say that. As far as North America is, it's most European city. It's really cool.
It really is. I always say that Canada got blessed because we have North America's most European city, and we also have North America's most UK or British city, and that would be Victoria. British Columbia. So we actually got very blessed with that.
Wow. You know, I was thinking of Ottawa. All right. Well, that Victoria's all way out on the west coast in British Columbia. But we're in Quebec City in the eastern part of Canada. And how do we start out with this reading, Hazel?
Well, we talk about the shop windows, and they are dominated by winter parkas. It's cool there. And so if you do some window shopping, you're likely to see the shop windows with many, many coats and parkas, things that will keep you warm.
What's a parka?
It's like a coat that will keep you warm in the wintertime.
Okay.
Kind of a heavier coat, right?
Yeah. The sleeves are not sleeves.
It has sleeves. It has a hood.
Okay.
Either has a fur lining around your face or a faux fur now.
Okay.
It's quilted inside.
Okay.
And it keeps you very warm. Now, for
right.
Canadians, we wouldn't wear it till the winter months. But if you're visiting from this part of the world, you might want to wear it in October or November.
Okay. All right. Now, where are we? Which street are we on in that next paragraph, Lois?
We're on Fabrique Street.
Ooh.
So, not Fabrique, but Fabrique
okay.
Street.
Is this the shopping district?
Yes. And you know, when we look at the pictures on page 40, they, okay. in our magazine, they actually don't do it justice. It is way prettier than that.
All right, wait a second. Wait. You just said don't do
it's
something
justice.
That's
right.
a figure of speech. I want you to tell our listeners, what does that mean? Don't do it justice.
In other words, it means that they can't actually capture how lovely it is or
yeah.
how picturesque
okay.
Fabrique Street is.
Okay, you don't get the real picture if
That's
you don't
right.
do something justice then.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is like it's even better
oh,
than
yeah.
what that picture shows.
It's so much more beautiful. You'll love how clean it is there,
mm-hmm.
Both where you walk, the air. You're right beside the St. Lawrence River. People
okay.
often call it the St. Lawrence Seaway because
yep.
you see that cruise ship there. Cruise
yeah.
ships can go along.
That's a big river for a big cruise ship to be docked there, and those ships go up and down the St. Lawrence River all along the border between the United States and Canada. Now, Hazel, in this brief season fall, what about North America's most European city?
Well, it's cool, very cold.
Okay.
There's a bitter wind that blows off the St. Lawrence River, and you need more than just a raincoat and a fleece. You know, a fleece is those fuzzy, kind of warm, soft jackets. They're not very thick.
Okay.
And they'll help you in the fall if it's not too cold, but in the bitter wind, you probably need more than that.
Now, what do we mean when it says glows with brisk vitality? What do you mean, vitality, Hazel?
Lively. Vitality means there's a lot of energy there.
Okay. So even though it's cold, everybody's not locked up inside, right? They're out running around. Mm-hmm.
And in the daytime, this time of the year, October 27th and 28th, it will be like mild, but at night it'll feel cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, it all depends on the winds, right?
Yeah.
It really does in this area of the world.
Well, that's what Hazel was talking about, such a big degree difference in temperature from day till night. It gets really chilly at night. Now, City Hall is decorated with giant pumpkins. And what else, Lois?
It says giant pumpkins and spindly geraniums.
Okay.
You don't always hear that word spindly. Which to me seems like skinny geraniums.
Okay, spindly. Like maybe a giraffe has spindly legs.
That's right.
Right?
It's long and tall and thin, and the geraniums don't look very hardy, okay? So in
don't
a gust of wind, they're probably going to...
Yeah.
Like fall over.
All right. Geraniums being a flower, nice and pretty. So they might be on their last legs. What do we mean on their last legs? They're going to fall over?
Right? Well, on their last legs mean they're done. So they're done for the season.
They're
right?
on their last stems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something is dying if it's on its last
legs. So that's a cute phrase, on your last legs. You're fading fast. You can't go much further. So it's kind of a cute phrase for geraniums, for flowers to be on their last legs, because they don't have legs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in this part of the world, I know from living very close to here, lots of people bring their geraniums inside in the winter. They might keep them in their basement or their garage, or they might have like some kind of... what do you call it when they horticultural little house or whatever?
A greenhouse.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, cruise ships on color tours of Canada dock at the port right there in Quebec City. Color tours are very popular in this part of Canada and the United States because of the fall. The trees turning wonderful colors. All the different colors, the bright reds and yellows, and it's just really, it's great to go spend a few days. October is the perfect time. Perfect time to go see the fall colors in this part of the world. Visitors then, they get off the cruise ship and cruise ships and pour into the winding streets of the lower town. Quebec has like an upper town and a lower town,
That's
right?
That's right. And it's a city that you definitely do a lot of kind of climbing.
Yeah.
Because you're at kind of sea level there with the river, and then you have to go up what they call the Plains of Abraham and keep going and get to the top of the city. And more the lower is the tourist part, and the upper is more the actual city functioning day-to-day.
Okay. All right. Now, I see something here in the next paragraph. We talk about New France, North America's French ties. New France. New France. They call that New France because that's where the French came in 1535 and settled, and it was a new country they were creating.
Right. And we have this city being discovered or created in 1608.
Oh, I thought it was 1535.
No, 1608 is when Quebec City was founded by Samuel de Champlain.
Okay.
And it is one of the oldest cities in North America.
Okay. All right. So it's really old and kind of like me. Now, what about Quebec City? Are these people, is it sensible, Hazel?
Its sensibility is why Quebec City is also regularly named one of the most romantic cities in the world. So I guess it brings your senses alive, right? There's lots of things to see and to smell and to enjoy.
Okay. All right. Now, sensibility from this, what I'm getting out of this is that it's not so much extravagant attractions, but just the orderliness and the quaintness of it and the niceness of it.
It's actually where my daughter and her husband had their honeymoon.
Yeah.
So they found this to be true.
It's not a lot of flashing lights and glitz and glamour, but it's just a lot of pretty and beautiful scenery.
Right. It's very, like in the daytime, it's very picturesque.
Yeah.
But at nighttime, it's definitely quaint and romantic.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's get into our next reading.
Bright lights. This time of year, it gets dark earlier each day. Already at 2:45 in the afternoon, I feel the hint of winter to come. I walk uphill toward the windswept river. I cut through a small alley that doubles as a market. There, artists sell touristy images in oil, acrylic, and watercolor. There is a gay feeling of warm color and light in this tiny alley. Nearby, St. Louis Street also is full of bright colors, on the shutters, awnings, and in-shop window displays that soften forbidding gray stone and chilly blue skies.
Well, I just said it's not a place of bright lights and glitz and glamour, and of course this section starts with the title, Bright Lights, but it's not so much Hollywood or New York type of bright lights, right?
That's right. It is more like the look of gas lanterns, but they're obviously run nowadays by electricity. It gives a twinkle to the city at dusk and in the evening.
Okay.
And it just reflects the beautiful cobblestone road you're going to walk on.
Okay, so it starts to get dark very early, and I know in the wintertime it gets really dark. Early, like in January or so. What time would it be dark? There two or three in the afternoon?
About 3:30, 4:30. Now, it's not, Quebec City is really south compared to the top of the province of Quebec.
Okay.
Because we're very close to the American border, really.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, the writer then says that she feels a hint of winter to come. So there she is. And she's already feeling that chill in the air. She goes on then to describe further her walk.
Well, she's walking uphill, just like Lois said. There's a upper and lower part to the city, and she's walking toward the windswept river. So we already talked about the bitter wind blows off the river, and windswept is that feeling. It's the wind has come and gone. It's swept over you, and it's probably chilly. You can feel the cold.
When I read this sentence, I was a little confused. Usually we don't walk uphill toward a river.
Right.
What's up with that?
I'm trying
normally
to think.
Normally we walk down to.
Down to the river. I'm thinking of where she must be in the city.
Okay.
Because I'm just trying to think when I've walked there. I guess you feel like you're walking uphill towards the river. Yeah. The way it winds.
Okay.
The way it winds around that part.
All right. Well, again, there's a lot of change in contour of the city, so
yes.
There's a lot of change in elevation, so she might be going up and down and getting to this place.
Exactly. And
river.
You've got, you know, we're going to get into that, but you've got the walled city part, and you've got the more open city part.
So she cuts through a small alley that doubles as a market. Sounds great. We'd love to see the marketplaces there. And there, artists sell touristy images in oil, acrylic, and watercolor. So they're aiming to get these nice scenes for people to buy them, the tourists to buy.
Yeah, I meant to bring one for all our panelists to see today because I have a nice little watercolor I bought there.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just a very small little watercolor painting, but I've treasured it forever.
That's all right. You know, it can be small. You can treasure it. Doesn't have to be some big thing.
That's
so.
Right.
Some of the things, you know, we have little gifts and things we keep. We're small, not necessarily big. And you don't need 100 things from where you visit.
That's
sometimes
right.
one is enough.
And it can stand out and look very nice in an area of your home.
Yeah, okay. There's a gay feeling of warm color and light in this tiny alley. Now, nearby where?
Nearby St. Louis Street. It looks like St. Louis, but Lois says it's St. Louis, and
that's
she
right.
ought to know.
All right. Is it dull and boring?
No, it's very bright and colorful and happy feeling.
Okay. All right. I'm just picturing this colorful painting on all the buildings. It says here on the shutters and the awnings and shop window displays. So first off, awning. What's an awning?
It's over a window or maybe over a door so that when it rains you have a little bit of protection, usually made of a waterproof fabric.
Okay, some type of fabric that's going to protect the people walking along either from rain or intense sunlight in really hot climates. So, all right, so we learn about the colors there and all the shop window displays. And what does all of that do?
It says that soften forbidding gray stone and chilly blue skies. Now, in this part of the world, because winter is 5 or 6 months long, because the fall season almost seems like winter, you want to have all this bright color so that it doesn't seem so dull and dreary. And that's actually, the province of Quebec is very good at doing that so that it feels more inviting and brighter and makes you feel happier.
Okay. All right. You know, it's something where you had described also during one of our breaks, Lois, that, you know, when it's the weather's nice and sunny, it's a great place. I mean, this is no different from many, many parts of the world. My hometown, Pittsburgh, is like that, too. When it's nice and sunny, blue skies, it is glorious. When it's cloudy and overcast, you just want to, like, go to bed. So it's not so much about the weather, it's about the scenery there.
Exactly.
The architecture. I think that's also another word I'm thinking of, the architecture, the style of the buildings.
And you know what, people, I don't think they mention this, but you're really going to also enjoy the walk on the boardwalk here. The boardwalk is phenomenal. It's one of the best ones I've ever seen in the world.
Yeah? What's a boardwalk?
Boardwalk is like a very wide sidewalk made out of wood. I think it's made out of either 2x4s or sometimes 2x2s wood, and it has some give to it. So it's very comfortable to walk on.
Yeah, and they're usually by beaches or rivers. Usually big, wide boardwalks will be by bodies of water. So, and there's something about it. It just makes you relaxed being on a boardwalk. So, okay, let's have our final reading for today.
Inside the luxurious Fairmont Chateau Frontenac Hotel, the tradition of afternoon tea is another good insulator against the clutches of winter in waiting. There, a waiter serves a gleaming silver pot of steaming tea, along with precise little appetizers. The room is hushed. It is warm in here. Couples linger. Nothing is rushed. It feels like a warm blanket sitting in this room with its wide windows.
All Okay, in our next section, our writer heads over to the luxurious Fairmont Chateau Fontenon and hotel. And why is she there? What's she doing?
It's tea time.
Okay.
So she went there. The tradition of the afternoon is tea, and that's another good insulator. An insulator guards you from something, or often guards electricity from shocking you or something.
Okay.
We talk about insulation in the house that keeps you warm. So when she's inside having tea, she's guarded against the bitter cold outdoors.
Okay, the clutch is the hold of winter in waiting, winter coming. It's starting to get cold, so that's what she's talking about. There, a waiter does what?
And it says a waiter serves a gleaming silver pot of steaming tea along with precise little appetizers.
Mm.
Now, people who know French and English culture are going to go, well, this sounds very English to me. Afternoon tea, silver teapot. Yes, you would be right, because this province has always had a lot of people, too, that's either first language is English or they've learned English and French at the same time. Mm. Also, these hotels used to be CN hotels. They were started by a Canadian National Railroad.
Right.
Now Fairmont owns them, but they keep the tradition of afternoon tea, and it's across the country.
Yeah.
So if you go to a Fairmont hotel, like the Royal York in Toronto, you will have the very same experience.
Okay, very good. The room is hushed, very quiet. It is warm in there. Couples linger. They like to hang out and just spend some time in there, and nothing is rushed. So nobody's thinking about doing work. So it feels like what, Hazel?
Feels like a warm blanket. I think of a security blanket. You just like to snuggle and stay warm. You don't want to go outside, so you're in no hurry.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they probably have a great view of the city looking out the windows, too. Okay, we're going to learn more about the warm heart of Quebec City tomorrow. Come on back. We'll see you then.